Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by George Raisley. He is the editor of Conservative HQ, a terrific online resource, a product of the Richard Viguerie Organization. He is a man of great distinction, among other things, a member of the American Mensa Organization, which qualifies him as a pedigreed genius, which I have discovered him to be. He's also worked in government, including, among other things, on the staff of then-Vice President Dan Quayle in the George H.W. Bush administration. He's a dear friend and a valued colleague, and it's always a delight to have him with us. Welcome back, George.
Thanks for having me, Frank, and congratulations to you for receiving the Impact Award the other day. It was great to see you at the luncheon with Sean Hannity and so many distinguished guests.
It was one of the great honors of my life. Thank you for mentioning it. And if people want to see the proceedings, you can check it out at our website, securefreedom.org. I commend it to you, especially if you are feeling a little disconsolate about what's going on in our country these days. There were real heroes in that room, and I was privileged to be somehow included among them. Let me ask you, George, to talk a bit about an issue we discussed earlier in the program with Scott Perry and Bill Gertz, in fact, and that is what seems to be increasingly kind of... the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign now doing business as the special counsel. What on earth is going on here?
Well, I wish I could explain it any better than you've just summarized it, but what is being revealed is that Mueller's team are, in fact, an extension of the Hillary campaign and the Obama administration. And they are, because of working for Mueller, seemingly immune to the rules and regulations and expectations regarding conflicts of interest and bias that would normally accrue to an investigation and a prosecution.
Particularly if there were any Republicans in the equation, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, here you have a guy who's exchanged 10,000 some texts with his mistress, who is also involved in the investigation.
One would think that would pretty much be a full-time job, just doing 10,000 texts, for God's sake.
Yeah, I was going to say I can barely answer the four or five I get every day. You know, I mean, if this guy were in corporate America...
We're talking about here Peter Strzok, this FBI agent, counterintelligence official, we're told. Go ahead.
You know, he would have lost his security clearance. He would have been fired. And yet, you know, there he is still raking in probably a GS-15 or above salary and going merrily along and investigating essentially whoever he wants and changing... Comey's speech exonerating Hillary before she was even interviewed, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's truly scandalous on so many different counts. And as you say, the question of how this could be done without it, you know, being a problem from a conflict of interest point of view, and how Robert Mueller could possibly be not now held accountable for populating his staff with such partisans and his own partisanship, for that matter, is really unbelievable.
I mean, I've worked for a Fortune 500 company, and if something like this were going on, it would not just be the employee, but the employee's boss who would be heading out the door in disgrace. And yet these guys are completely immune.
There does seem to me to be a bit of a miscarriage of justice going on with respect to what has been done by Robert Mueller and his team most recently with respect to General Michael Flynn. You've written a piece at Conservative HQ about his only crime. Talk about that, if you would, George Rice.
Yeah, well, Flynn's only crime was not lying. It was telling the truth about how Obama, Clinton, and their administration put this country in jeopardy by making the Iran deal, by selling out to radical Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, Sharia supremacism more generally, right? And this brought him their wrath, I think it's fair to say. And while he did apparently mislead the FBI, that does not constitute, as far as you're concerned, a criminal act?
Well, I think there's a great deal of question about the circumstances of that. And I think that Flynn, you know, was interviewed without the benefit of counsel, that he was basically ambushed. I think had this gone to trial, any, you know, legal aid lawyer would have made a motion to throw all of that stuff out. But Flynn was being crushed by the bills of trying to defend himself. He wanted his life back. You know, his son was threatened. So I think he took what was the cheapest way out, as opposed to necessarily standing and fighting. And a guy at his age, you know, I can't frankly blame him, even though I think it's a complete travesty that he was put in that position.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. George, let me turn to another topic that you've also addressed, I believe, just today at Conservative HQ, and that involves the apparent determination of a goodly number of Republicans. Goodly may not be the right term for this. There's nothing good about it. But a fair number of Republican rhinos, I think you've called them, Republicans in name only, who are insisting, as evidently is the desire of their leadership, on giving an amnesty of as yet undetermined proportions in the name of addressing this question of deferred action for childhood arrivals or DACA population. What on earth are they thinking, and what's likely to come of it as you see it?
Well, of course, they're pandering to the open borders, depress the wages of working Americans, clique of the Chamber of Commerce. But I think that 32 plus have signed on to this letter, which demands a DACA be addressed by the end of the year. And that's enough to foul up the tax reform package or pretty much anything else leadership wants to do. And so the concern is that these unprincipled scoundrels will buffalo the House leadership into putting something up, you know, that will amnesty these DACA recipients, which could be in the neighborhood of 1 million or more.
I've heard a number as high as 3 million. I don't think we have any idea, but if there's 800,000 of them in the first place, the chain migration would certainly be multiples of that, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because for every two immigrants that you bring in, they're likely to bring in, or the average is, 7 more family members.
And as you pointed out in your piece, George, the first two in that chain migration would presumably be the parents who perpetrated the crime in the first place, right? Talk about rewarding and incentivizing more of it.
But anyway, so, you know, the concern is that if this gets on the floor between those 32 or so and the Democrats, then it would easily pass the House. So we need to make sure that everybody understands that that is a poison pill, and that anybody that votes for that is going to get a primary challenge, and that the conservatives are going to vigorously oppose not just the bill, but the, you know, the people in their next election.
From your lips to God's ears, George Reisley, and I know you will be doing what you can as the editor of Conservative HQ and as a leader of the conservative movement to make it so. And I strongly support you in doing it, and am very concerned that this betrayal, should it go down, of the conservatives will cost the country for sure, but also the Republican majority in the House, should it take place. We'll talk more about this in the days ahead. George, we have to leave it at that for the moment, though. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.